This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Before the break, we were talking about Department of Justice Voting Section Chief John Tanner's recent controversial remarks. With me now to talk about Tanner and other news from Capitol Hill, we've got Donna Brazile, a nationally syndicated columnist who also teaches at Georgetown University, plus Robert Trainum, D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast Cable Network, CN8. Welcome to you both.
Hi, hello. Farai.
So, Robert, this is another case of examining how the administration's picks are doing on voting rights and civil rights. How significant is this?
It is significant in the sense where this is yet another example of someone in the Bush administration offering bigoted and offensive remarks that, quite frankly, were ignorant. It's unfortunate because, as your guest mentioned a few moments ago, Farai, this person appears, Mr. Tanner appears to have a very fine and distinguished career in terms of advocating civil rights. But unfortunately, the footnote is always going to be that he said some things that he shouldn't have said, where quite frankly, he was thinking out loud, presumably, about how, quote unquote, blacks die younger than whites. Nothing could be further from the truth. There are some incidences where obviously people of color are affected with diabetes and HIV/AIDS and so forth at a higher percentage than their white counterparts. But when it comes to actual voter participation, again, nothing could be further from the truth. So it's an ignorant statement of which he's apologized for. The real question is the proof in the pudding, and will he actually do something now sooner rather than later?
Donna, Senator Obama said that Tanner should be fired. Is that appropriate? Is that too far? What's going to shake out from this?
Well, you know, it's my opinion that when Mr. Gonzalez left, they issued a clean house. The Justice Department is tainted. It's tainted with employees who care more about their political ideology rather than the principle of fairness, of equal justice under the law, and the principle of one person, one vote. The voting section of the Civil Rights Division mission is to protect the voting rights of racial, ethnic, and language minorities and make it easier for them to have access to the political process. Mr. Tanner and many others are no longer interested in enforcing the law. They're no longer interested in ensuring that the people of color and others have access to the ballot box. Instead, they are now erecting barriers that will make it even harder for minorities, poor people, women, and the elderly to participate in the political process. So I think this is a moment for the Justice Department to really come clean and to restore the division of civil rights and the voting section to its original mission to protect the civil rights of all Americans, period.
Robert, we're coming up on another election after months and months and months of early campaigning. It is about a year away now. But when you take a look at these issues of voting rights, are they on the table as much as campaign politics are? And what should people be looking out for right now?
Yeah, that's a very good question for I'm not sure it's on people's radar screens right now. You know, keep in mind, you know, despite what Donna just said in terms of her talking points about, the Democrats being the champions for civil rights, keep in mind that the Bush administration, has been forward-leaning in respect to reaching out to African-Americans. Remember that George Bush got, I think it was something like 14 or 15% of the African-American vote in Ohio in 2004. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But the real issue is whether or not, to answer your question specifically, Farai, if this is on people's radar screens, particularly people of color. I don't think so. And I think the reason why is because there's some bigger issues out there. For example, Iraq, for example, Social Security and healthcare and education that are probably more in the forefront of people of color's minds than voter disenfranchisement, unfortunately.
As the chair of the Democratic National Committee's Voting Rights Act, Voting Rights Institute, this is not a talking point for me. It's personal. This is about the history of a people who have struggled to become first-class citizen. This is about Selma in 1965. The Voting Rights Act should not be tampered with. Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which allows pre-clearance and allow the accessibility of all people, that's important to me. That's important to everyone involved in civil rights and equal justice under the law. So this is not a talking point that I could get from a Democratic Party. Martin Luther King didn't march so the Democrats could be in power, the Republicans could be in power. He marched so that everyone would have access to the ballot. And as long as that access is in jeopardy by a department that is more interested in politics, whether it's a Republican administration, and this one is a Republican administration, or a Democratic, I will march. I will call them out. And Robert, this is not about protecting George Bush's legacy with black people.
I'm not
because
advocating that.
That is something that George Bush will have to do. And that legacy, in my judgment, is clear and apparent, and people know exactly what George Bush has done and not done. But when it comes to the enforcement of voting rights in this country, this administration has fallen behind. They have They have not enforced the Voting Rights Act. They have not enforced civil rights laws. And that's something any civil rights experts in this country can argue with you and tell you about.
Donna, I want to give Robert a chance to respond. I want to move on to another topic. Any final thoughts on that topic, Robert?
Look, I'm not going to disagree with Donna in respect to obviously Dr. King and some others marching to their death to make sure that you and I and other people of color can vote. The real issue here is whether or not people within power right now actually do care about voting rights. And I just think it's very, very dangerous for anyone to sit here on their perch and make this blanket statement that no one cares about voting rights. I don't buy that argument, not one bit.
Well, the record is there. And the record of lack of enforcement, the 1993 National Voting Rights Act is not being enforced. The 2002 Help America Act is not being enforced. Black people in Louisiana was purged. 80,000 black people. Did the Justice Department go in and find out why 80,000 black people were purged? That's why we had a 27% turnout in Louisiana. This administration is not enforcing civil rights laws. They are selectively enforcing certain laws to put their own politics in place. Voter ID. Voter ID. Well, my own sister had to produce 3 IDs in order to vote in Florida in 2000. We should tackle the problems at the Justice Department so the next administration will come in there with a clean slate so we can get back to enforcing voting rights in this country.
Donna and Robert, I have to move us on to another topic. It is related in the sense that it deals with the Attorney General. This week, the Senate Judiciary confirmed Michael Mukasey as the next AG, and he came under scrutiny because of his refusal to say whether or not the interrogation tactic known as waterboarding constituted torture. Again, getting back to the whole question of the Justice Department, is this a good idea or a bad idea for Mukasey to have gotten this vote of confidence, Robert?
Two Democrats came out earlier this week, Farai, and that was Senator Chuck Schumer from New York and Dianne Feinstein from California, and have said that they are going to vote for Mukasey, which basically guaranteed, if you will, his nomination to the Senate floor. Waterboarding is a horrific torture. There's no question about it. I mean, it's very well documented that this is exactly what uncivilized civilizations have done for decades upon decades upon decades. He was right to probably keep his cards close to his vest and said, you know what, I don't know whether or not this is illegal or not, but I do know personally that it's offensive. So he did what he had to do to get into the Justice Department. I agree with Donna that the Attorney General's office is a complete mess. There's no question about it that Judge Mukasey is not going to be a Bush crony. I also recognize the fact that we also have people out there that want to kill us and that wake up every single morning to try to figure out exactly how they can do harm to this country. And you also need to have techniques without pushing the envelope to make sure that we get information from these would-be terrorists. So, you know, it's a very, very fine line. Mukasey probably did exactly what he needed to do. The Democrats did exactly what they needed to do, which is to put President Bush on the offensive, which they did, by the way, for the past week and a half or so.
Donna, let me take this in another direction. You have this controversy over waterboarding with the Attorney General. You also have the President of Pakistan declaring a state of emergency. And this is a key U.S. ally. What do these two situations say about what America is willing to do or not do in the face of terrorism?
Look, we all recognize that we live in a dangerous world and the threats are real, the threats to our own security and the threat of our allies. But, you know, Reverend Jackson taught me during the 84 campaign that you have to measure human rights by one standard. He was speaking about, at that point, apartheid in South Africa. I think when we talk about democracy, whether it's here at home or abroad, we have to have one standard. And our standard has always been for clean, fair, and transparent elections. And clearly, Mr. Musharraf has suspended the he eliminated the Supreme Court, has suspended the elections in order to retain power. He used the guise of terrorism, the threats of terrorism, to suspend laws in his country. We have used similar tactics here to suspend habeas corpus, to allow CIA and others to use waterboarding. We've trampled on civil liberties. We've spied on our own citizens. So I really do think that this is one of those moments in history where we need to look at this, and not in a vacuum of this is happening in Pakistan, but what's happening across the world. That, and people are looking at the United States and getting a bad example of how we should operate in the world's, you know, most long-serving democracy.
Got to get Robert in briefly. Is this going to undermine the U.S.?
Well, to answer your question specifically, Fry, for a few moments ago, is that, look, the United States will turn its cheek when it's necessary for the United States to do so. The reason why Pakistan is such a unique ally to the United States is because strategically it houses a lot of our airplanes. And we have a lot of sorties that fly out of Pakistan that go over to Iraq. So that's number one. Number two, Pakistan has always been a thorn in the Middle East society for the past 70 years or so. Since 1947, when it annexed from India, it has always been a hotbed of anarchy, if you will. With all due respect, Donna misspoke to a certain degree. General Musharraf will hold elections in January of next year. He has announced that he will take off his uniform and he will serve in civilian things. The real question becomes is whether or not those elections are real. Are they democratic? Will people really have the right to vote? And will they be able to choose their next president? We saw the former prime minister of Pakistan fly into Pakistan about a week and a half ago. There was a terrorist attack, ironically, against her life where several people were died. She's been in exile for the past 8 years. She was the first woman to be the prime minister of Pakistan. The real question, again, becomes is whether or not the United States is going to stand shoulder to shoulder with an ally in this war against terror, and also, and even more importantly, to make sure that Pakistanian people are empowered to vote.
Well, Robert and Donna, we've got to end it there. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Robert Trainum is D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast Cable Network CN8. Donna Brazile is a nationally syndicated columnist who also teaches at Georgetown University. Both spoke with me from NPR's D.C. headquarters.